Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org. This podcast is offered by Jokoji Zen Center on the web at jokoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
We last left our story with the Buddha under the Bodhi tree. And he's just become awakened. But we know, really, we should say, we've just become awakened, right? Because he reached down and called the earth to witness and said, I and the great earth and all beings simultaneously achieve the way. Just think about that. And then Mara comes forth and says, you know, one of Mara's last questions before Buddha awakened, you know, to tempt Buddha away, and talked about the question that really stung me this time was, who are you to awaken? As the swords and the arrows and the dancing girls and all of that wasn't enough. Who are you? What makes you worthy? And to say, I awaken with everything here. Calling them to witness, they're both the witness and the evidence. It's everything. It's all here. What's lacking? What's lacking? I was thinking about this spiritual feeling, this feeling of lack. Reminded me of a story about Master Ma. A monk once went to see Master Mazu. And when they met, Master Mazu asked the monk, where do you come from? The monk replied, I come from Hunan. So Master Ma asked him, is the lake there full? The monk replied, no. Master Ma said, all that rain, still not full. And if any of you have spent any amount of time around these Zen stories, you know there's a lot of subtext. There's something else going on here. We at least recognize that when a Zen teacher asks a student, where have you come from? They aren't asking you about your travel plans. They're asking you, who are you really? The gauging, the clarity of your mind. They're testing you. So how would you answer? The monk who is either making an error or an omission. So if the monk is in error, the reading is this. He's taking the question at face value. Where were you? And his response is, I was just over there. And no, the lake doesn't have that much water. But we think there's something more here. We know there's something more here because this monk came from Hunan. This is where the famous master Nan Wei was. It's Mazu's own teacher. It'd be like Tam flying from our Sangha, coming to Jokoji and asking, how about the fire? So asking him if the lake is full is saying, wow, you studied with the Great One. Did you get all of the teachings you needed? This is said. So, what's lacking? What was not over there that's over here? Wow, all that rain and still not full. Yes, I came from that great teacher, but I still am lacking. Can you help me? That's the way I read this. Yeah, I came from that great teacher, and I'm still stuck. Master Mazu is reminding him, it's the same in Hunan, it's the same. It's the same in Jokoji. It's the same everywhere. What could be lacking? Either way. I love this monk. He's coming forth with his question. But he's coming forth because something isn't working. And the teacher says, the lake is full. The lake is full. If you came to me and I asked you, where are you right now? Or, how's your practice? Or, how's your session? What would you say? What would you answer? No need to be clever. Just what would you say that's real? which you practice. When we begin undertaking this path, most of us begin meditating to improve ourselves, right? Like the same mindset we would use with New Year's resolutions and going to the gym. If I really stick with it this time, if I really stick with running this time, I'll be that better version of myself. Or our relationship would be great if they would just be a little bit different here or there. Or if my mind wasn't like this, then Zazen would be really great. If my back wasn't like this, or my knee. I was challenged by a physical therapist recently. I was thinking about going to the gym, and my physical therapist saw that I was struggling, and I don't mean because the weights were heavy, which they decidedly were not. She saw that I was struggling and knew I was thinking about what my body couldn't do or how I should be able to do more, lift a little more, be a little faster, or have a little more range of motion or something. And so she challenged me, just explore instead what your body can do. I just lifted the next weight and just thought about of it as being a celebration of what my body could do. God damn, that weight was a little bit lighter too. Just a little bit lighter, too. But why we withhold that kind of love from ourselves, you know? And same as in meditation, we think, should we be showing ourselves that kind of aggression or not? How should we be talking to ourselves when we're in our heads? I think our Zazen should always be rooted in compassion and in wisdom. Those are our two wings. So, if then Zazen isn't about being a better version of yourself, or isn't about cutting away or denying a part of yourself, It's just about loving what's there, meeting what's there, just meeting everything that's here wholeheartedly. It's about loving who we already are on some level too. It has to be. It's a kind of radical acceptance, meditating and meeting this moment exactly as it is meeting ourselves exactly as we are. So we need to meet that person in each moment with compassion, with openness, with curiosity, with persevere with affectionate awareness. Right? It's a little unofficial slogan of late. Persevere with affectionate awareness. So what qualities were you supposed to have before or after Rohatsu session? What shifted actually for you? Can you let go of the story and instead embrace a kind of gentle and open, compassionate trust towards ourselves? It's also kind of brave. It's a brave quality in there too. I think about this monk coming up to Master Matsu and saying, I was there, I tried. Now I'm here, help me. Brave enough to see what's there. Brave enough to accept that. Trusting ourselves, trusting the moment, just as it is. And meditation is often just that, as a practice, just staying moment to moment, just staying, and staying curious. Sometimes we get so locked down. I was thinking about that. This whole story came to me in Zazen, this whole reverie. I was thousands of miles away from here. I was once on this camping trip, and I had a very narrow window, I guess, to go camping, and the weather looked a little grim, and I thought, I'm going to do this. And it just, rained and rained and rained and rained. It rained the whole time. And
And I remember at a certain point, just sloshing around, following this trail by the lake. And I was just, my boots were getting just covered in water and the lake. And lake after lake, and I couldn't tell where one lake began and the next one ended. It just was, I didn't know where my trail was anymore. So I was just sloshing around looking for a trail in the water. And it was such a surreal thing. And at a certain point, I had to say to myself, what are you looking for? I'm looking for the trail. I thought, why? I said, so I can get to my campsite. You know, I just had this strong desire to get to my campsite, my lakeside campsite. And I said, I don't think it's there anymore. And I'm standing in the lake, looking for the lake. You know, looking for this lake experience with the lake coming over the tops of my boots. And I just thought, you found the lake, you know, like here's the lake, this is the experience, this is it. It's just this funny thing that just had me literally slashing around for an hour or two, you know, just looking. So, yeah, so meditation is just really often just a practice of being brave enough to see what's there, and sometimes being brave enough to admit when it's time to let go. I let go of the campsite, and let go of the camping weekend, and let go of the trail, and just completely let go. Meditation isn't just a practice of staying in the moment. It's also a practice of continued curiosity and vulnerability and bravery. So you have to bring your whole self to the moment. Not the story of yourself, but your whole true self. Just as it is. Like, what's lacking? What is possibly lacking about you? About this session, about any of it. I have a friend at a monastery, and they had a visiting teacher from Japan, and in their sect, in their lineage, it's quite often the teacher would call you to tea. When the teacher would call you to tea, you're expected to bring a little gift. And my friend didn't really kind of know this, and somebody told him while he's like working in the garden, when you see the roshi later, you know, you better have your little gift ready. And he said, wait, what? What? Little gift? And then a few moments later, they called him to see the roshi. And he's, you know, he's got nothing. And he's covered in mud. What's your excuse? So he was weaving in the garden, so he picked up this tender little violet, little blue, little flower, this little weed, this tender little shoot, thing, and he took a napkin out of his pocket, and he gently kind of protected its root ball, and he brought it into tea. And so he made his prostrations, and he offered the weed. You know, just in a some way, grubby work clothes. And the teacher took it and said through the interpreter, this is good, we should bring this home and plant this at our monastery in Japan. We'll bring this home and we'll plant this offering, this weed, in our garden. Thank you. Can you fully, like that, can you fully offer like that? Can you fully receive it like that? What's lacking?
A monk once went to see Master Ma Su. And when they met, Master Ma asked the monk, "Where'd he come from?" The monk replied, "I come from Hunan." Master Ma asked him, "Is the lake there full?" The monk replied, "No." Master Ma said, "All that rain and still not full." Who are you? Who are you to enlighten? Who are you to be so enlightened all the time? Huh? Thank all of you for your sincere practice. I was talking with Sensei about, and Ino, it has been an incredible session, just incredible. The sitting and what we've experienced in Dokusan, trying to receive you with your little weeds like that. It's been an incredible one. I think to myself, what's lacking? If I handed you a little piece of paper and I said, "Go ahead and draw where you want to have your silent retreat," I think maybe I would draw, you know, a little place. Maybe up on a mountain, but maybe not too far from town. I need to get French fries sometimes. Maybe there'll be a little creek. Maybe there'll be a little fire. And there'll be all these warm, friendly faces to practice with and to support me. What temple would I draw? Where would I go? What is even lacking?
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jikoji, please visit us on the web at jikoji.org.